Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Happens.
Watch what crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me today is a wonderful, wonderful man. It is the one and only Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello!
Are you excited for the Kim Zolciak Dragathon 2018?
Oh my god. Wow. Yes, they even made noises from Drag Race.
Wow. This is first Bravo dragged Kim, and now we get to drag Kim. But before we get into that madness, because wow, that was just pure madness on the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion part 3. A few things. If you missed it on Friday, we have added a second show in Philly this summer. We are doing another show on July 19th at World Cafe Live. Tickets are going to go on sale at noon Eastern on Wednesday. We will have a ticket link up at watchercrappens.com. But if you want those tickets, make sure you are at your computer, or maybe by a phone, at noon Eastern. That's 9 a.m. Pacific, to get those tickets, because they will probably go fast. We have a little bit of a track record of that happening. So we're really excited about that. The other thing, that was like the main announcement. But the other thing I wanted to say, we recorded a bonus episode. You go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to do that. And we had a really fun time. We talked about Potomac. Potomac will be taking over the Monday slot on Watch What Crappens starting next week. We're really excited for that. But last night's episode of Potomac was really good, and so we had a fun time recapping that and some other stuff. And one of the things that we talked about, or at least I talked about, was how I saw a panel of Daisy Samero over the weekend. They are like the Bodega Boys podcast, who now have a show on Viceland. And they were so inspirational, and they really talked, like, all the things that they were saying about what they've done with their podcast and what they've stayed true to is stuff that we're always saying. And just in short, I was just saying in the bonus episode that I was so inspired by them. And it was like a great reminder for us to, you know, to continue to stay authentic as this podcast grows and we do things like add second shows to Philadelphia. Like,
as I slammed the screen door after smoking out of it.
It's okay. Someone on our Facebook group was like, I love when Ben goes on a big rant, and then when he's over, there's like a moment of silence because Ronnie's gone outside to smoke a cigarette. And you can always tell because you can hear the door creaking closed.
I'm not outside. You just hear my chair roll back.
Right.
And like,
but either way, it was just like hearing them and seeing the success that they've had while remaining so true to themselves. I just left that being like, you know what? Like, if there's anything that happens with this podcast, the one thing that I want always to be the same is that we just remain totally authentic to the show and to like the listeners and to each other. And I just am like so inspired for the future for this podcast by Daisy Samero. So I just felt like being cheesy and saying that at the top of the episode.
Oh, hugs.
The other thing that happened this weekend, which is really significant, is that Dorinda Medley had a bird in her house. Did you see this?
No.
She,
I did not watch that, okay? I barely keep up with these shows without the Instagram stuff.
Dorinda, she put on Instagram, on her Instagram story, that she had a bird in her house. And as a dutiful Bravo commentator, I felt it was my obligation to save that Instagram story and present it to you all. So here it is.
Oh, good. Okay.
How 14 exciting. Seconds right of pure bliss. Ready?
Yeah.
Can you hear this now?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There's a bird in my living room. Come on, birdie. You got to go. Oh! Okay. No, no. Okay. Bird, 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 bird. Bird, bird, bird. Okay.
That was it. It was one story.
That's it.
Gotta go. Gotta go. Bird, 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 bird,
bird, bird, bird, bird. Why can't we just be friends? Get out of here, you dumb slut. Why can't we just be friends, bird?
Listen, bird, you and I were the same people, both from Berkshires. You know, you meet people, I meet people, we're happy people. God bless her.
He's barely in heaven. Oh, I love heaven.
She is
fucking
much
crazy ass Dorinda. My
much
God.
Calmer than I would be. It reminded me of the scene in Arrested Development where Buster's like, "There's a bird in the house. It walked on my pillow."
Well, last night when this show was starting, I was texting with my friend Monique, or our friend Monique, and she's like, "I'm so sad it's over," because I was watching it after I had already taped it. And I was like, "What do you mean it's over? It's only part two of the reunion. What are you talking about?" She's like, "Dumbass, it's part three. Mm-hmm. How do I not even remember?" I mean, we record episodes after we watch it, okay? It's like,
yeah.
That's how badly I wanted this to just keep going and going. Like, in my mind, I was just making it go forever because it hasn't been the best season, but it has been a great reunion.
Well, I think... The part one was okay. Part two was a little bit better, but the part three was like, whoa, like jaw on the ground with the amount of delusion that Kim Zolciak shows from beginning to end, and the way that they all just like line up and just beat her down. It was just like one after the other. You know, it was like that scene in Airplane where they're trying, where the woman's in hysterics and all the passengers get in line and they all are like, punching their hands in their fists. Someone's got like a bat. There's like a nun who's like ready to slap. They're all coming in just like slapping her down. It was like, it was actually like very gratifying.
And you got to hand it to Zolciak because normally in a Housewives show, this is when you start liking somebody again, when they get, you know, when everybody is against them. You know, it feels like, oh my God, they're bullied. And then you start feeling for them. And then those people can win back points immediately. And I have to hand it to Kim for not being able to get one single point.
Yeah.
Because she just keeps lying about everything. And then they cut to tape. And she's like blatantly lying about everything all the time.
She doesn't even know how to play the victim well. Like that's one thing that you have to be able to do on these shows. She can't even do – she's just like a big, thick piece of plastic. You know, she does not understand. She's awful and she's like problematic and stupid and a liar. It's just, it kept on going. And I personally, you know, I let's see, we had like three major, like, well, yeah, Nene went at her, then Kenya went at her, Candy went at her, Cynthia a little bit. I think Kenya was the one who handled her the best. And again, I think it's further proof why we need Kenya on this show, because she can really eviscerate someone without having to, like, yell. Like, Nene also tore her apart, but Nene starts yelling. She starts shouting, and it becomes a shouting match. Kenya just, you know, she just says hilariously crazy things and just took Kim down like that. It was brilliant.
Well, I don't know if I'd go as far as brilliant, but it was fun. And it was fun having fun watching Kenya again, because it's been a rough season.
Yeah, exactly.
For me and old Ken.
Mm-hmm.
So at first I wrote, oh God, here we go again. Because it's like, welcome to the Biltmore. It's like, look, a chandelier. And then it's just Nene screaming.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit, I forgot. We are just jumping right back into this mess. And they are still fighting about the handicap photo and the
which
spot.
Is just so good. Okay, so then they're both wrong. This is a typical Nene and Kim fight where they're just both fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And so instead of talking, they just start yelling nonsense at each other. Yeah. And Nene's like, you are jealous. You are a hater. You haven't had breakfast. You toss track. I was like, what is she even saying? Did she just say you haven't had breakfast? So I rewound it three times, and I think she said you haven't had breakfast. And then I'm sure that's not what she said, but she's just possible. Yelling so much nonsense. That totally could be what she said.
She's just making statements about her life. You haven't had breakfast. You slept 5 minutes later than you were supposed to, Kim.
Listen, Miss Snooze Alarm. I'm like, what are you even yelling at? So then she's like, you just talk trash whenever you get with Sheree. And then Kim's like, oh, you can't stand that we're friends for 15 years. It ain't you a lot. And then they're just screaming at each other. And Kim's like, she can't even stay in her chair. And she's like, I'll stay in my chair, breakfast lady. I'm like, what are they even talking about? Okay. What is even happening?
I like Nini's commitment to making sure Kim has 3 square meals a day. You know, that shows she's a good friend. You know,
Jimmy Dean sausage machine. Yeah. Oh my God, why are you guys yelling? So Nini's like, I don't give a fuck about you. I don't give a fuck about y'all. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. And then so Kim's like, well, I don't give a fuck about you parking in a handicapped spot, but you still did it, which is like the least sensical lean into that fight ever.
Yeah,
and
Kim
so
is Nini not just a good pivoter. Kim is like, nah. She's like, well, I don't give a fuck about Staples, but you still parked in a handicapped spot. It's like, well, those two things don't make sense. And why are you talking about Staples?
And then Andy's like, so. He's just like, just calm, you know? He's like, yeah. So. Why did you park in that handicap spot? And she's like, he goes, because Greg's handicap. And she goes, yes, Greg and the person I was with had a handicap sticker too.
Yeah.
That is such a lie. That is such a lie. And I love that she just sticks with it. And then she goes, what are you, a parking meter?
Yeah, she's like, are you a parking meter lady? I can park wherever I want. You are not the parking meter lady. I was like, you can't park wherever you want. And I like,
she's like, what are you, handicap? Are you handicapped? Can you park in the handicapped spot? Where's your scooter? Where's your scooter?
Where is your scooter? Which is actually like really offensive in so many ways, but used against Kim is really hilarious, you know? And Kim's like, well, you shouldn't have taken a handicapped spot from a handicapped person, which is probably true too. But at the same time, it's like, this is Kim. I just have a hard time taking Kim's side in this. I just love Nini, where is your scooter? Where is your scooter?
These poor two, Kim. They're just such trash together. And Kim's like, meant. You okay, bitch? You okay? And she's like, where is it, bitch?
Yeah. Your big ass floaters you have sitting on your chest. I was like, okay, like, now it's just observational commentary.
Like, you've got a chandelier hanging above your head. It's like, yeah, she does. So Andy's like, whoa, 10 years sure fly, don't they? And they're fighting about each other's plastic surgery, just giving each other taunts about plastic surgery, which they both look fucking crazy. You know, that's what I love about these two fighting. Well, like, they're both so ridiculous and rude.
But I think that's like a false equivalency, because yeah, Nini looks, when she first got the surgery, it was like, whoa, look at that surgery. But I'm like, okay, but it looks, now that I've gotten used to it, it's like fine. Kim though. That's like, she's crazy face. Her nose looks like a ski jump, okay? Her lips are like, it looks like one of those crazy lip couches. You know, this is a woman who, you know? Her eyes look like
she
came from a doll.
She looks like 80s modern furniture.
And she does. She genuinely looks like a crazy person. Her face is bonkers.
They weren't even talking about each other's faces. That was what was hilarious, because Nini's like, where's your scooter? Like that. Okay, we're past the handicap fight, but it was just cracking me up. So Kim goes, what about your plastic surgeon? Because your floaters aren't even working, bitch. And Kim's like, oh, really? What about yours? And then they start fighting about each other's boobs, which is not a false equivalence.
Well, I thought that those Kim was making fun of Nini's teeth, which I feel like, if anything, Nini's teeth is probably the best thing that she got done.
Well, it moved on to those, because then Nini goes, well, my teeth are amazing. And Kim goes, you ate the last set.
Which barely makes... If anyone ate teeth, it was Kim Zolciak. She's like, oh, look, there are chiclets already in my mouth. You know? She's like...
Look, if this is a fake quarter, I can't bite into it. Ow, God damn it, I hit it.
Why do they make chiclets so hard these days? Guess I'll just swallow them. And then she's like, I'm just glad I didn't go to your doctor. And then Nini is like, well, whoever you went to pulled you a little too tight. You know? Which is true. I mean, it's like... She's
practically
inverted at this point.
So Andy's like, okay, well, let's change gears and talk about Sheree.
Yeah.
So Andy's favorite thing in this reunion is just to say she by Sheree over and over again.
Yeah.
And Sheree, how many times has Sheree fallen on her face in this reunion? It's like, just she leave Sheree alone, okay?
I mean, I'm still standing by my theory that Sheree is depressed. And I actually really mean that. I think that she really, when it came out about Bob and it was this facade that she'd been keeping up, when it came down, it sort of just like was the last thing sort of keeping her together. She seems much more inside. She seems quiet. She doesn't seem like she's barely standing up for herself. She's barely standing up for friends. She's not collecting bones. She's just not doing anything. I feel like she's like not even present. And I actually feel bad for her.
Well, Sheree's known highs and lows, and I sound like Andy, but she's known highs and lows in the Housewives game, and Sheree knows when she's beat. I mean, this whole season, she thought she was on the right team, you know, and so she didn't probably find out that she was on the wrong team until the season had been airing, and she's like, oh, shit. She's just going to be quiet.
I read an item over the weekend saying that the reason why she was fired was basically it could have been because of Tyrone, because Bravo can't film in or even outside of the prison, and so it's like really affecting what they could do with her. So they're like, you know what, it's not good. So now Tyrone's ruining it for Sheree, which I don't think Sheree should be fired personally. I like Sheree.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's saying, oh, her storyline and her fake house and this and that, which I love. Remember last season when Sheree was pretending she lived in that house and she was just standing out on the front porch sweeping when someone came over?
Yeah.
That's like my favorite. I like Sheree doing nothing. You know, I'm okay with that.
What storyline does Nene have? Nene has no storyline except to like yell at Portia about something that was said on Dish Nation. Come on.
Yeah, or so pretend that her son is like a charming stand-up comic or whatever while he plays pool and doesn't go to school.
At least give us Sheree so we can link a Cairo, okay? Just give us Sheree. Justice for Sheree.
Yeah, justice for Sheree. So Andy is just really cold. He just keeps saying she by Sheree over and over again, which is just so rude at this point.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's time to call Tyrone and you can use my phone. And then everybody just looks at him like, ugh, with your fucking rhymes.
Oh,
everything's a fucking...
Well, it's an Erica
Badu.
Well,
she may be a tree, but he's... No, I know, but it's just everything he says is like...
I know. He put the bad in Badu.
Yeah, she's like, she by Sheree, and he's he by in prison A or whatever. It's like, oh, okay, God.
So is Kelly, which is Sheree's daughter, is she fine with Tyrone? She's like, oh, yeah, Badu. It's like, oh, the relationship's going on for about 2 years. Whoop, whoop. It's like, oh, hey, so Sheree, are you and Tyrone having phone sex? She's like, oh, ooh, Andy. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm like, I can't even imagine what that phone sex would be like. It'd be like, so, baby, when I get out of there, I'm going to install some exercise equipment in that man cave.
Just getting good. Yeah, they've already had phone sex, and we heard it. It was about a Nordic track.
Yeah. So they're not engaged, according to Sheree. And no, Tyrone did not help pay for Chateau Sheree, even though there are conspiracy theories that he was paying for, which is why there was a delay, because he went to jail.
Well, now Sheree is not going to be honest, and it's hard to tell what Sheree. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm not arguing with you. I'm arguing with the TV, and it's hard to tell if she's being honest. And you know, she's doing her clear sign of a lie, and she does the same thing that Kim does, which is she pulls her weave.
Yeah.
She just starts pulling at her ponytail, pulling at it, pulling at it, pulling at it, and it's like, you're lying. I mean, I know that she's uncomfortable too, but especially when it gets to this, was he paying? And then you know. You couldn't finish the house because he went to prison, because that means that her house is involved in that fraud and she could get taken, you know, she can get it taken away and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So Vernon wants to know why you would date a stupid criminal or whatever. and then Sheree's like, well, I know this man's character and I don't worry about it. And he goes, so he's in jail for fraud. And she's like, why fraud? Like, that's much better.
Doesn't that tell you about his character and what you may know about him? Maybe a fraud? Don't you hear the operative word there? Fraud?
Well, when I saw the Cirque du Soleil, Andy, there was a man walking on a high wire. And I thought, you go, Tyrone. I believe in you, Tyrone.
It's like making it into a talent.
One of my favorite I was like, movies. Wait, what? I lost it for a second. Now I get it. Wire fraud.
It's he does it in a circus. It's a high wire fraud, Andy. I saw a movie in the 80s with Goldie Hawn and I think it was Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
And it was called
Bird on a Wire Fraud. They had to climb across two buildings on an I-beam. It was intense, and they wound up in the zoo.
So he's like, well, I'm concerned about when he's getting out. And she's like, well, he's waiting on his eye calendar for appeal. And if he doesn't win, and Andy's like, but if he doesn't win, it's going to be 4 more years, right? And she goes, no, 2. On 10 at 8. On 8 at 6. On 10 at 2. On 29. And fraction. And then I'm just like out of it. I'm like blacking out.
Yeah. Meanwhile, his appeal was denied and he's going to be in jail for many more years. Well, I think like 2 or 4 more years. But she's like, they're like, well, so are you going to stay with him if it doesn't go through? She's like, well, I'm still being in love with him, but you know, I got to live my life. I got to date other people. You know, I got to see other people. So it's like, yes, you will be with him. Yes, I will be. You know, yes. It's like, yes. Okay.
Pretty much. And Andy's like, well, are you dating? And she's like, do payphones count? I've seen payphones, and I put a quarter in their slot, and Tyrone's there. So,
like, payphones are not available either. They're also leaving you.
Okay. So Portia, then I noticed her belt is like a Gucci. I don't know why I wrote that down. I was like, why are you wearing a belt over a dress, Ray? Why?
That's why I said that she looked like a Scarlet Mennonite a few weeks ago, because she's like covered up every inch of her body, but then is like oddly cinched. It was like, I don't know. So Portia is like, well, why date a guy who's not physically available? I don't get it. And so Sheree is like, well, some people date barren men and they're not available. And of course, Andy. So then this is great because Andy's like, oh, whoa, I feel like I just heard an echo of close your legs to married men. Which, of course, then totally incites Kim and Nene. They come back again and Kim's like, well, maybe Nene should have done that with Greg. And then Nene's like, Greg and I have been married for 20 years, you know? And like, what about you dancing Oasis for 20 years dressed as a nurse? I'm like, whoa.
Oh, yes, she was at the Oasis dressed as a nurse. And I've been married 20 years to blah, blah, blah. And she goes, and she's been with 2 married men, and one of her bought that house over in Sugarloaf. Which is just such a Kim place to live, Sugarloaf.
It really is. Wait,
I live in Sugarloaf.
Isn't Sugarloaf in Brazil?
I don't know, but I love the name Sugarloaf.
Well, I'm going to look it up.
And so Kim's like, it's none of your motherfucking bullshit business, Nostra. I've been married 7 years, next, honey, next. I'm like, Kim, you've already introduced this into evidence, you know? Like, do you watch Law and Order? Any version, even the Menendez brothers one. Like, you have to be the one to introduce it into evidence. You can't be saying it's not fair, ma'am. Objection. Objection.
So Sugarloaf is not in Brazil. It's in Maine, which I actually did know also. But isn't there something in Brazil that's called like sugar something?
I've never been to Brazil.
The hell, it's like, do in I Rio, know? It's called like sugar. Sugar something. Like sugar. Isn't there a sugar? There is a sugar loaf in Brazil.
Man, you in never, Rio. You never cease
it's
to amaze
me. It's the famous one.
Man.
It's the famous, you know. It actually looks like Kim Zolciak if you really look at it. It's the same shape. Look up Rio sugar loaf and do an image search. It's like a mountain version of Kim Zolciak.
A mountain version. Okay. Rio sugar
loaf.
I didn't even have to type it in. It's the second choice on Google. Images. Oh my god, it does look like Kim.
It's the Kim Zolciak of rock formations.
Sugarloaf. It is. You should superimpose that picture I drew of Kim over the Sugarloaf mountain.
Do you have a rocky formation? You got a mountain? You got a mountain? I don't know. Last time I checked, you didn't have a mountain.
I've been a sugar loaf for 500 years, honey. Nice try.
Bye. Bye. I'm a mountain. Bye.
Could you imagine? Oh, you don't watch Game of Thrones, but there's a character on there named the Mountain. Just imagine Kim.
Bye. You're not a real mountain. I got sugar loaf. Okay.
They're putting every warrior up against Mountain Kim.
I love that Sugarloaf looks like him, because that's what I would name a mountain that looks like him, Sugarloaf.
Sugarloaf.
Or just anything with loaf in it, you know? Like potato loaf.
Oh, I love potato bread. Okay, so she belt. That was Sheree's belt. Okay, so they're fighting over who cheated and who was dating married men. And guess what the real answer is? Both of them. Both of them were. So Andy's like, sorry, Kim, you're really going to hate this question. But did Big Papa ever leave his wife? And she's like, Andy, I don't know. I've been with Cora 7 years. Okay, seven and a half years. Okay. Okay, honey. Come on. Stop trying, Andy. Stop trying. And Nene goes, 20 here. 20. I've been married 20, Scooter. Where's your Scooter?
I just want to say, though, that when Nene initially said that Kim was a stripper, I thought her denial was a guilty denial. Like, I thought she was actually very quiet about it. She's like, what? She's like, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. Because Kim is good for just, like, yelling. She's good for being like, oh, shut up, bitch. Shut up, bitch. If I was a stripper, you're the stripper first. Bitch, you're a stripper. I'm a mountain. You're a stripper, you know? But, like, she was like, what? No. Which means I think that it caught her by surprise and she didn't know how to handle it.
Because wasn't Kim an actual nurse?
That's what I thought, which is very sad about our medical industry.
It's just hilarious that she's just like, I'm coming after work. Like, she's just, you know, really trying to get through that school or whatever. But I think she was a nurse, I think.
That's what I thought. But
again, I don't know. Maybe she just helped a lot of old people at the Oasis. See, that's the thing. Like, when everybody's keeping their secrets for all these years, and then it's like no one's surprised that Kim was a stripper. I think we all kind of assumed that. But it's like now you're bringing it up. It's like you could have told this a long time ago. Now I'm mad at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so now Kim is now at the point where she's losing every fight because Nene, you can't win a fight with Nene because you cannot yell the bitch. I mean, yeah. She will just yell at you forever. They're both wrong in this one, but Nene just keeps yelling. So then Kim does, I learned this from Facebook, what this is from. She goes, brr, brr, which apparently is from Drag Race. I guess they just like make bird call. I guess it's where they make bird calls. Some Shantala, I don't know, you guys. I'm so sorry I'm not caught up on my Drag Race. But I guess somebody makes that bird call at somebody. And I heard that Faith was doing it on that MTV show.
Oh, yeah. X on the Beach.
X with my ex. X with my
ex. X on Sugar Mountain. Sugarloaf Mountain.
I fucked Jax and now I'm stuck on this goddamn channel for 6 weeks.
I fucked Jax and now I'm stuck on Sugarloaf.
Yeah, Faith Mountain. Sugarloaf Mountain.
It's just a giant bay. So, Nene with the brrr. And so it's like, so back to Sheree and Tyrone. So Nene, what do you think? And she's like, well, I think that Tyrone and Sheree make a great couple. I'm like, even though you called him like a shady fraud, you know, con man, criminal, but you think they make a great couple? And she's like, she was doing it in that way
where she's like, I don't want to answer that. So it's wonderful. They make a great couple. Which is how she just started answering everything in this for the rest of this reunion. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, of course I said that. Of course I did. So then he's like, so why were you mad? She's like, I just got sick of talking about it. And he's like, yeah, but then in Barcelona, you said you never dated. And then Candy asked you about it. She's like, I was just asked so many times, which is another Nene lie. Mm-hmm. And then Candy's like, well, I got my head chopped off and I didn't mean to imply. And then Nene's like, I don't even care if it looks suspicious. Scooter, eat your breakfast.
Scooter. Scooter, just have your... I'm trying to imagine what Kim eats for breakfast. Probably like the cookie crisps or something like that. I like those little guys on there. Little robbers. They're nice.
So then Andy's like, well, on your blog you said that Tyrone was suspicious, but now he's a perfect man, which is just shady, you know, which is what you just said. And yeah. then so she's just trying to get it over with. So Sheree's like, well, on Twitter you said you sucked his dick, so what do you mean by that? And she's like, well, I'm sick of being asked about it. Of course I sucked his dick. Of course I did.
I'm like, this is why your Uber rape jokes don't land, Nene. You got to really think about your setup and punchline. It's you got to think about it a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Think about your audience, okay? If you go on Twitter and say, I sucked his dick, sometimes people will think, you sucked his dick.
And she probably did. This is one of those things where it's like she thinks there's lie detectors hooked up to DVRs, so she's just going to be like this with everything. Of course I did, which she probably did, you know.
Yeah.
So Andy, shady ass Andy, is like, well, I spoke with him today. By the way, Sheree, you owe me $12 for that collect call, bitch. And yeah, he said, you stalked him, you showed up in Philadelphia, and then Nene's face just... she like half closes her eyes like she does and kind of crosses them, and I'm like, oh, so it's true.
Well, like, but it is also, I don't know if it's true. We can't sit here and be like, the guy is a fraud, and then like then all of a sudden his word is fact. So I don't know. I like Nini's response. She goes, well, we'll talk to Lyrone when he gets out, you know. I like, yeah, that. I'm like, I like that.
I like that.
See now, Riley, don't want no breaks, don't need no breaks. But we have to take a break right now.
So then we cut to a Talkspace ad, which I just thought was hilarious because it's in the middle of all this. And then we come back and he's like, you actively pursued him. So I was like, oh my God, that's so perfect for Talkspace to be right in the middle of that.
So now we get to Kenya versus Kim. So Andy wants to know why they're not friends. Like, you know, basically... Like, why do they hate each other so much? And Kenny's like, well, look, Sheree and I had this light shade back and forth about our houses, and I was just shading Sheree, and then Kim barged in and was being like an asshole. And it's like, who the fuck is this bitch, you know? And Kim is like, well, I thought Kenny was being rude, you know? I was like, I just merely asked why you have to be an asshole. I just was like innocently asking. It's like, no, Kim, you showed up and you tried to have a moment. You were like, I'm back. I want to start a fight. I want to get on screen, okay? So don't act like you were just pleasantly asking why Kenya was being rude.
Yes, and Kenya was being fucking rude. She was being an asshole in that scene. I didn't even have that much of a problem with Kim in that one. I was like, LOL, because she's letting Kenya have it, and Kenya was being a damn asshole, I thought, in that scene. But it's like, Kim, you can't even like keep from lying even in this, and you weren't even necessarily in the wrong, you know?
But she makes herself sound so demure. Like,
yes,
she's just like,
that's the thing. Like, it's like she can't be on her side.
But like, when you see that Kim like is not just standing up for Sheree. She's like, coming for Kenya, and she's like, well, you're never gonna have a baby, you don't have a baby, your like uterus is dried up, you know? Like, she went pretty below the belt pretty quickly over a stupid fight about a basement.
Well, it became husbands, and this show is really rough.
Yeah,
because who are you gonna stand up for? It's like, I mean, Kim in this one, obviously Kim loses this whole fucking reunion.
Oh, she
but in
lost
general
big
it's
time.
Like, Kenya's being mean and calling her a hoe and her daughter a hoe and her, well, not yet, she hadn't called her daughter a hoe back then. But talking about her husband, they just all go so fucking low, and it's so gross and hilarious and wonderful, well, and I hope they never change. But it's like, when we're talking seriously about, look, here's what I wrote. This is the most serious note I have about this whole thing. Kim and Sheree both have baseball skin. I don't think the air conditioner was on or something, because everybody looked really hot and porous. That's all I can think of.
Baseball skin. I don't understand how that correlates.
Like, I guess it's probably like football skin, like leather skin, you know? Like leathery. When it gets kind of hot and your pores open, you're just like, I'm hot. We're under these hot lights. And yeah, now we're talking about a goddamn basement.
Yeah, it was not an HD friendly moment for their skin. But yeah, Kenya basically is like, you know, Andy, Kim and her daughter always have something to say about me, and I'm sorry, Andy, I can't hear her behind her wig, which was hilarious because it's not like she's the only one wearing a wig, but she's the one who always gets clocked for it every single time.
I can't hear her behind her wig. because of Kenya's season, she got stuck at the other end of the couch, like the ass end of the couch. So she's pissed, and so Kim is at the seat right next to Andy, so she kept turning away from Kenya. And so, Ken, you know, she could just ignore her. So Kenny was like, I'm changing my chair. I can't see from behind her wig, Andy.
And, you know, it was a great little power move. It was her way of saying, like, I may be on the edge here, but don't think that you're in front of me in line. I'm going to come and I'm going to look at you in your face because I belong here, too. And Kim's like, well, you ain't going to get a moment from me. You ain't going to get a moment from me. I'm like, Kim, all you are is a big moment. You're a big thirsty moment. Okay.
Also, she's taking Kenya's terminology, because Kenya was the one yelling earlier in the season, you can't have this as a moment, Cynthia. This isn't a moment.
Yeah.
So Kim is like trying to use her words against her. Doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. So, and by the way, just to go back to what you were saying before about how low they go on this show, they do go low, but like Kim Zolciak And I will always call her Kim Zolciak, not Kim Bierman. But Kim Zolciak, she really goes low, and she goes low fast and quickly. And then she gets really righteous and sanctimonious when someone goes low on her. And so on this reunion, people went really low with her. But it kind of felt like, you know what? We're sick of you saying all this bullshit, like, kids are off limits, kids are off limits. And then you, like, you know, then she, like, lets her kids do, basically Brielle, do all this dirty work. You know what? And they, I think they just were like, fuck it, we don't care. We're going to talk shit about you and your kids. And they really weren't even, well, they did talk shit about Brielle, but they were really, it really was more about Kim as a mother, you know? And Kim is one of those people that if you say, you know what, Kim, I fucking hate you and your stupid clothes that are children's size, leave my children out of it. You're like, I just said the word, you know?
Yeah, remember when you ordered a single scoop cup? Leave my kids out of this!
Kim, you can't sit with us. Go back to the kids' table. Leave my kids out of it.
Yeah, she's just a hypocrite, and you can't be on her side. I mean, there's no way, because once you try and you're like, well, maybe you were right in that argument, then she just lies about something, or, I mean, she's just
like,
the worst.
Kim's like, she's not funny enough anymore. Like, if she were still funny, that'd be one thing, but she's not even funny. She's not funny. Yeah. She's not interested. I don't know. She's just, she is like milk in a microwave, just, you know, accelerating the curdling, you know? So
yeah, she's like lemon and milk. So Andy's analogy. Like, so mirror, mirror on the wall, Sheree is the shadiest of them all. And Kenya's like, why would you allow anyone to say my eggs are 48 and expired or whatever? And like, Sheree goes, aren't you 48?
You're 48. No. You got baseboard? You got baseboard?
And Kenya's like, no, but even if I'm 58, why can't you stand for another woman or whatever? And Sheree's like, I'm happy for you. Okay. Well, Kenya's like, well, thank you then.
Yeah, it was kind of a funny, like, diffusion. Like, I'm happy for you. I love you. Okay.
Well, I just fucking Kenya. It's like 1 minute she's like, oh, me and Sheree have this, you know, fun repartee. And then she's like, how dare you not stand for women? Yeah. Sheree's like, oh my God, I can't even keep up with you people.
By the way, I just had a funny thought talking about baseboard because I was watching your episode of, I guess last week's episode of Trading Spaces where they put up baseboard. And it made me think of Sheree. And so saying baseboard made me think of that episode, and I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if Sheree were on Trading Spaces? And you know she'd be super shady about it. She'd basically be like, okay, I'm going to redo someone's closet, and someone gets to come in and redo my entire basement. Like, she's just gonna get the free labor. So Kenya starts talking about Kim, and how at Nini's gays and gals, white party, never forget seafood soiree, party under the stars, balloons and babies, elephants for trauma party, that, like, when Kim came in, she just started coming at Kenya for truly no reason whatsoever. And Kim's like, no, I didn't. And then this was great because then even Cynthia jumped in. Cynthia's like, you did. You started coming for it. I'm like, ooh, when you get Cynthia Bailey mad, then you know you've really got a problem.
I know. And then Portia was like,
well, what happened was you made her mad last time, so she was going to get you this time.
And Kim's like, thanks a lot, Portia.
She's like, well, that's what happened. I'm just trying to move it along.
So then it's like, Kenya, are you jealous of Kim? And she's like, I don't want those baby's kids. Why in 2017 would someone want some kids that are just like her? Which is a great question.
Yes. And I don't want a husband who's like a valet. He even does her makeup. I don't want a husband without balls.
Yeah. Oh, God. She has a husband who walks around like her valet, her driver, her wig maker, her wig curler, does her makeup, teapot holder, door opener, dust brusher.
I
know.
Meanwhile, she's like, my husband can't come unless I feed him, get him a plane ticket, a car, and a whole new closet of clothes. Okay, Andy? They're all hypocrites on this fucking show.
So Kenya goes, I don't want a husband who doesn't have any balls. Kim's like, my husband has way bigger balls than yours ever will have. And Kenya's like, well, I'm sure you've sucked a lot of balls to know that.
And Andy's like, okay now, okay.
But like, now. I love it. Like, I would never be as quick to say that. I'd be like, yeah, but, you know, the fact that Kenya's always, she's can like come back.
I love that you're giving credit like for high repartee with you've sucked enough balls to know. It's like the lowest. It's like the low. Yeah, you suck balls. Sorry, I didn't mean to be mean.
I'm laughing to myself because I wouldn't have been able to say that. Like, well, my husband has enough, have bigger balls than yours would. I'd be like, well, your husband's balls are like miniature tennis balls that you see in like a model home, like one that you make with like crafts. So they're smaller than normal balls.
I had a hamster and he lived in a ball.
That's like my terrible comeback. I'll just try and confuse people with childhood stories.
Yeah, so Kenya's like, you pimped your daughter out. You basically told the whole world that your daughter is a hoe.
And Sheree's like, okay, that's enough, Kenya. That's enough. And Candy's patting her on the arm. They're like, okay, Kenya, calm down now.
And then Kim's like, I would not say my daughter's a hoe. Chrissy Teigen's a friend. We already text Sweetie. I'm like, wow, congratulations.
And she's like, your husband is an idiot who turned a hoe into a housewife. And Portia's like, this is ugly, and that's coming from me.
So Kim just reverts to her old, you know, crazy delusional fight, which is, well, I don't have my show for no reason, honey. And then he's like, what is that reason? We all want to know. Why would you have a show? And she's like, really? 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 She's like, yeah, what is the reason you got your own show? Let us know. And then did it cut to commercial here?
It did cut to commercial. Like,
and I was like, is there a deep reason?
Is there a deep reason? Just that she's like a train wreck. And Bravo's like, we need to have a half an hour to fill. She's a train wreck. And we could probably pay cheaply. And you know, Bravo always loves it when it brings love. You know, like the fact that Kim found a football player and they fell in love and they got married and they had kids. Bravo loves that because they like to be like, look what we did. Look at the good we do. Let's have a little show about them where that's totally scripted and not interesting at all. But Kim thinks it's because it's like, well, I'm just a riveting personality. I just have full of lots of insights. I'm a mountain.
Mountain. Why is the mountain on Game of Thrones? Ask him. So Nini's like, well, you act like you got it because you're a big shit. That's why you don't eat breakfast. And what does that have to do with this? You don't do anything tardy for the party. You don't even have a job. And yeah. Kim's like, I sold $15 million in my first year, bitch.
Of cashmere. I was like, what the fuck is cashmere? But I guess is her skin something or another, which obviously is not working considering your previous observation about pores.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's like, I sold $15 million of those this year. I'm like, why do I not believe that she sold 15 million, like, SKUs of a product? Not SKUs, but, like, 15 million units of a product that, like, has barely, like, made aware, like, consumer awareness beyond whoever is the sad person who bought her.
Yeah, skin well, stuff. No one believes it. They're like, whatever.
See, by the way, that's an example. That's why I'm not as good as Kenya making a comeback. See that? Do you see the way I just struggled through that put down? I was like, why would we ever believe she
well, let's just talk
skews.
About someone's balls. That's all you have to do. So she's like, I made $15 million. And Kenya's like, I'm sure anyone who gets a check for $15 million. She goes, I didn't get a check. When you make $15 million on a product, you use money to invest in more products, stupid. And Kenya's like, put some anesthesia into a bottle, you'll sell more. And I'm like, well, hell yeah, she would. I'd buy that shit. That's actually a good business plan, Kenya.
See, now Kenya is no great businesswoman, but at least she doesn't fake her numbers. Okay, she may fake her shampoo with water, but she doesn't say, I sold 15 million of it. Okay, Kim is just like, I sold 15 million of it, became the official sponsor of Avengers, Age of Ultron Beauty. Yeah.
I'm Thor.
I'm Thor.
No, that's more of a Kenya lie, where she's like, I've been in the film and TV industry for 20 years. Like, yeah. I'm glad that YouTube's included. So Andy's like, so, okay, let's move on to something better. Why did Portia call your daughter a hoe to your face? Like an Andy. Yeah. She's like, I didn't hear it that way. And Portia didn't mean it like that.
She didn't mean it.
Anyway,
no, he was trying to stir some shit.
But it was hilarious when they showed that.
Yeah. And then the question is, so Kim, why do you talk about Kenya's husband when you're always saying that daughters and husbands are off limits? And Kim's like, I actually don't remember what her response was. I just assume it was some variation on that.
And he was like, you said my husband was fake.
And then Kim's like, oh, Yeah, this is when Portia's like, well, she had it out for you, and then when she saw you, she got you. And she's like, thanks, Portia. Jealousy's a disease. Get well, bitch. I'm like, yeah. Okay, now you're just stealing off gay scram. Okay?
So then someone asks the question, which is, listen, Kim, it's basically like, why don't you be a better parent and tell Brielle to shut up on Twitter? Like, you know, your daughter's out there squawking. You're the parent here. Why don't you tell her to be quiet? And Kim's like, well, she's a grown woman. She's 21. I'm like, but isn't she supposed to be off? So
yes.
Is she off limits or is she a grown woman on her own? Like, which yes. one is a Kim?
Total
which
one Kim is argument. That is Kim's arguments in every single scene. It's like some hypocritical bullshit that she's already done before. Yeah. And she can't win anything, you know? And she goes, she's 21 and successful, so...
At what? Being a cautionary tale?
Yeah. And then he's like, the rubber apple don't far off the rubber apple tree, or whatever. And then Portia's like, well, Kim did tell her to stop. And Kenny is like, why are you helping her?
Yeah. So Kenny is like, fix your double chin next time you go to the plastic surgeon.
Oh my god. And then Kim scrunches her face and she's got 19 chins. It's going to be the most famous picture.
Yeah, when she scrunches her face, it just turns into an old-fashioned radiator.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa. Or the Michelin Man.
Oh. Or one of those things you play.
Accordion.
Yeah,
or like accordion. One of those like towers you get for babies, you know, when they have to put like the rings, like the, you know, they get wider and they get smaller and smaller. That's what it looked like, except all one color.
Or my knee, around my knees when I'm like squatting.
Or
like those little rings.
Or like in the original Legend of Zelda, if in one of the dungeons, there are these like things that have like, that look like that. And like if you touch them, they eat your shield. That's what her face looked like.
Or a really knobby carrot. Just like a
or like a jack in the box before it's popped.
Mm-hmm. A caterpillar. Like one of those little caterpillar nightlights.
Or like when you've had a straw and like you take it out of the paper and you got the straw paper, then you don't know what to do with it, so you start folding it yes. on itself and you make like a little sort of like foldy thing. That's what her face looks like.
Or when you like bunch down the straw and take it off and then pour like a little drop of water and it comes out like a worm. Do you ever do that?
Or it's actually kind of just like the bendy part. If you have a bendy straw, she's like the bendy part of the bendy straw, like where you just go burr, burr, and make a little noise. Like you should do that with Kim's head and you're like,
she's even making that noise.
Yeah, and then sometimes you stretch it out and it's like, and then you put it back, and then you squish it all back together. It's like, that's Kim Zolciak's face.
Yeah, pretty
much.
She's
a straw, but with less character.
Yeah.
So
Andy's like, so Candy, what do you feel about everybody being jealous of Kim? And she's like, no one is jealous.
She's like, no, Andy. No one is jealous of Kim. Look at her. She is a bendy straw.
So Andy's like, well, Kim, your friends, Christy and John, were asked about the ticket, you know, offering blowjobs for tickets on Watch What Happens Live. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? I was like, can this get any worse for Kim? Because Andy makes it sound like they're going to be like, I don't know her.
Yeah.
You know?
So,
like, well, you don't even go here or whatever. And Kim's like, well, I didn't say I was friends with John now.
Yeah. Yeah, because we see the clip and John Legend, John Legend says he agrees with Nini's tweet because what Nini said, because remember during the season, Nini said something like, I wouldn't offer my daughter, like pimp out my daughter for John Legend. Like the music's not that good. And he's like, I agree. I mean, my music is not good enough to pimp out your daughter for. He like clearly was like not into that tweet. And Chrissy is like, well, I mean, I am friends with her. That's true. But I'm not about to jump into an Atlanta fight. I'm like, well, congratulations, because Andy just put you right in the middle of one.
Yeah. And Andy's like, well, that was uncomfortable. And Kim's like, it was a joke. Brielle loved it.
Yeah. She's super successful doing her no jobs, you know?
Jeez. So Andy's like, okay, Kenya, go back to your chair. You know, because Kenya's just basically like, your face sucks. It's like, Kenya just keeps yelling stuff at Kim. So Andy's like, okay, you can go back to your ass end of the couch now. Thanks for that segment.
Yeah.
So she's like, bye, my work here is done, Andy.
You know, by the way, speaking of Kim Zolciak, earlier this week I happened to notice she posted something. I'm pulling it up right now. She posted something so stupid. She puts up this photo of Brielle. There's a photo of Brielle just looking again, like a porcelain, I don't even want to say porcelain doll, like a porcelain shoe. I don't know. But she's just like, it's just a photo of her. And this is the caption. Because I thought, oh, I read it. I was like, this woman is so, she's so codependent. And like, she's doing such a number on these girls. She goes, in all caps, she goes, Brielle Corinna Bierman has a heart of gold. She is honest, sincere, loves her family, loves her friends. She is hilarious. She does what makes her happy. She is super protective of her mom and dad. Don't mess with her siblings either. She loves to travel. Wave emoji. She loves to shop. She has expensive taste, but would give you her favorite shirt, quote unquote, right off her back. She doesn't have patience. She is comfortable in her skin. She is a leader. And incredibly, I'm incredibly proud of you, who you are, and what you stand for. I love you, Ellie Belly Boo. I'm like, why are you like giving her like a like this is like a like an award ceremony or something for Brielle? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's so bizarre to me. This like public,
that's what they do. What they do to each other when the other one has their feelings hurt, because that's the only way they like live is on that stupid Instagram. So when Kim got attacked in this reunion, remember all the fallout from that? Brielle's like, my mother, Kim Delphiak Bierman Faith, is the best mother I've ever known in my life. She is strong. She is pretty. She has nice hair. Her lips are nice. I love her clothes. She has a great car. And she is my mother, and that's it. And I'm like, okay, you two. Could you maybe try hugging?
Yeah. Okay? I mean, I understand. Like, you know, listen, there will come a day, I'm sure, where I will post. I will say, Rondell Waddy Karen, this is a man. You know, I will do that. But, like, it loses its power if you do it, like, every 3 days, okay? Then it just becomes, like, this weird public neediness where, you know, it's like what we said last week talking about how she's like, okay, baby, you've been at Coachella. Time to come home. We miss you here, baby. It's like, yeah, you're like, making, you're, this poor girl, Brielle, is, had such a psychological, like, mind fuck put on her. I mean, no wonder why she's like this now.
Yeah, she's a mess. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I was, why stop blaming your mother now?
Yeah,
but yeah, those are like little rubber twins. It's like those little clowns. You know when kids have those clowns and you punch them and then they come right back up?
Yeah.
They're like punching bag clowns. Yeah. Except you never even have to hit them. They hit you, you know? Yeah. They just and then, like, keep, and then they like give you guilt slamming trip. Into you. Yeah, you, like, and then they're like, why'd you hit me?
It swings back. It's like, that wasn't nice. I never did anything to you. And then it punches you. And then you're like, hey. And you punch it back. And it's like, why'd you do that? I've been supportive ever since.
How dare you call me a clown? It's like you're literally dressed as a blow-up clown right now.
Yeah. Like, so. I stand up very well, and you like punch it, you falls down, you just fell over. No, I didn't. I was standing, but in a different direction.
So I was standing on the ceiling. She's like matrixing herself. Oh, what a feeling. I would like to say this. Lionel Richie, what a person. He's strong. He's nice. I love his hair. He'll
Lionel
give you a shirt to
Brielle
wear.
Richie. You are a man. You sing good. When you fell in love with that blonde girl and made a clay face of her, that was the most beautiful thing I done ever seen.
I would like to thank Lionel for adopting Nicole. Nicole Richie. It's like another Instagram. Dear Nicole Richie. Strong, amazing. She'll give you a shirt if you ever need one.
Joel Benji Madden. Don't know which one of you is married to Nicole, so to both of you, you are two handsome men with fedoras, and you're nice, and you sing, and you got tattoos, and you're talented and successful, and you're not just good, you're good Charlotte.
Oh my god, those two. So then Andy's like, okay, we've had enough of this. Just kidding. So Kim, why?
Still like a half an hour left of just like bashing Kim. They're just getting ready. Yes. They're just propping her up ready for Candy to take her licks.
It is so good. So he's like, so Kim, why is it okay to say that Nene's on drugs? That, isn't that like when Phaedra suggested that, when Phaedra tricked Portia into saying that Todd tried to rape Candy or whatever? And yeah. Then they just show Candy's face, and she's like, she just gives this look like, oh, Jesus, please not again.
Yeah, yeah, because, wait, remind me, this was, It was, why is it okay to talk about Nini being on... Well, first it was, why was it okay to talk about Nini being on drugs? And Kim is like, well, I thought she was acting weird. She was like, it just wasn't the disposition that I remember her.
This ain't the Nini I know. And I never said it was street drugs. I'm just saying, bitch, it's something.
And then Candy makes this noise. Okay. I don't know if Candy said so. It wasn't a squeak. It was like a...
So then,
the sound effects for this reunion. So then you've Kim's brrr and Candy's
and then Kim tries to turn it around, saying like, well, you know, I thought it was disrespectful for Candy to say I had a drinking problem. And I'm like, in my mind, I was like, huh? Because I wrote a question mark in parentheses. That was my way of saying, huh? So then Candy's like, because they show a clip of Kim at that sit down with Candy, and Kim's like, well, I have Croy drives me everywhere. It's this way. I can drink everywhere I go. I like to drink. I don't think I may need a whole bottle right now. So Candy's like, see now, Riley, if you can't go anywhere without drinking, sounds like a drinking problem.
Yeah, and she was just making a little joke, and Candy's like, you were the one who said it. And then Candy's like, play it back, production. Like, you might want to be careful with that game, young lady. So, you're lucky you're not in the crosshairs this time.
Yeah, so Sheree
Kim's
tries...
like, the difference is that I asked Nini to her face, and Candy said it behind my back, which makes it worse. And Candy's like, what did I do?
Yeah, and Sheree's trying to clarify it for Candy. She's like, see, the drinking thing is like, when you were accused of doing drugs, you know, when you were accused of like raping and doing all that stuff, that's like what the, when you said about the drinking thing. And Candy just like shuts down Sheree. She's like, if you can't drive yourself because you have to drink, sounds like a problem to me, and I ain't changing. It was so hilarious. It was like, she said it. She said it on camera. She's always drinking. It sounds like a problem.
Yeah, she's like, don't even start with me. And I love that that was just a little aside while Kim's still yelling in the background.
Yeah. So now Cynthia gets mad, and Cynthia's like, listen, Kim, at this point, I've been here longer than you, okay? You always want to flap your lips, your giant fucking lips, about somebody. But the moment that somebody wants to flap their lips at you, you got a problem. Kim's like, huh? What?
Kim's like, oh, I guess it's all me then. I guess it's all me all the time. I'm the mean one. I'm the bad one. I'm the bad guy, I guess.
It's like, yes, you are. So just stop. You know she's caught. And she's like pulling on her hair and messing with the Kleenex. She's eating like 10 Halls. Like she keeps sucking on some kind of goddamn
candy. It's the Halls of Madison. I've got an exclusive pass.
Yeah. In the Oasis breakfast, bitch. So then Candy's like, well, nah. I was going to try and be cool to Kim this time on the show. And Kim was like, oh, yeah, it was all me. And she goes, it is you, girl. Don't you see that?
Everyone said it. Because, yeah, Kim was being the victim. It's always my fault. Everyone's like, yes, Kim, it is. It is your fault. Because now they've transitioned to talking about Candy wanting to lick Kim's box. Because Kim had said that. She's like, she won't lick my box. And Candy's like, I never wanted to do such a thing. And she's like, oh, well, look at me. I guess I lied again. It's like, yes, you did. So, and then now Candy starts getting mad at Sheree because when Kim told Sheree that Candy wanted to basically eat her out, Sheree did not bring the bone back to Candy, you know? So Candy's like, why would you not tell me that, you know? And Sheree has these, like, new rules and regulations for Bone Collector LLC where she's like, oh, you know, I don't have to bring a bone back if I don't want to. The bone's got to meet my approval. It's got to go through an application process. Oh.
Now you know how the internet listens to you now, so like if you type in like I'm searching for an iPad cover, next time you go to Facebook all the ads are going to be for iPad covers.
Yeah,
I think that's happening with this show, because first they went to Talkspace, you know, which is the phone therapist. We love you, Talkspace. And then in this one they're talking about the bone collector, and it goes to commercial, and it's McGruff the crime dog.
Oh yeah.
And he's in a Geico commercial. How does that make any sense? Can you just hire like dog actors from other ad? I don't know what it was, but I love that it went from bone collector to McGruff.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with you maligning Sheree's future boyfriend, because you know that's gonna be like, if she ever comes back, she's like, well, I've been dating McGruff the crime dog. I realized that crime is bad, so I decided to go the other way. So now there's like all this back and forth over Kim is now denying that she said that Candy wanted to lick her box or whatever. I think that Is that what she said? Liquor boxes?
Yes. And then Andy's like, it was on camera. And she goes, now, Andy, don't try making me look like a liar. And he goes, it was literally on camera. What do you want me to do? And Sheree's like, look in the box. And then we see the clip or whatever where yes. she says it. And it's like something about threesomes or whatever. Yeah. And then Candy goes, oh, she's talking about threesome. Bahamas. In the Bahamas. She was laying up with some girl while her kids were on the couch.
Yeah. Oh, DJ Tracy from like season 3 or something like that. Yeah. At this point, it sort of became so chaotic. I had a hard time following it because now there's like some talk about threesomes, talk about DJ Tracy in the Bahamas and the kids in the next room or whatever. And now Kim was... So now Candy was getting annoyed because Kim had said in that dinner... at one point during the season, I think it was with Sheree, Kim had said that that when Candy and Todd got together, there was some issue with like a threesome or that Todd wanted to do a threesome. And Candy was getting mad because she's like, we weren't even cool back then. You're talking about Todd. You don't even know. You don't even know. And that's what got Candy mad. And I was like, you know, Kim, you know, you made it. You've got hit by a Nene. You got hit by a Kenya, and now you're about to get hit by Candy. And when Candy hits you, it's always gonna be real bad because Candy will hit you hard. And then that's when Candy
with the truth. I mean, that's the thing. It's like stupid Kim. Even after Andy says it's on tape, and then they show the clip of her saying it, she's still trying to deny it. And Candy's like, "You sit on the couch." And watch like a fan, and you want to talk about me.
Yeah, loving exactly. She's Scott like, you're a kind fucking of cry fan, voice. And you sit here and make judgments. You're a fan. Yeah, that's what you are. You're sitting on the sidelines watching us, and ain't nobody trying to lick your fucking box. And to me, that was like actually probably the best thing because basically Candy, they've all been trying to defeat Kim with logic. Or just shade. But Candy at that point was like, no, I'm going to say it like it is. I'm degrading you. You are not, I'm downgrading you. You are not a housewife. You are not a friend of, you are not of our tier. You are the Twitter people. You somehow got on this show. You are a fan. And you know, normally you'd think it's like condescending that like, oh, like what? Like being a fan? What's wrong with being a fan? But when she says it to Kim, it's great, especially because Kim was the one who has been calling Kenya's husband a fan. Like, oh, he was just a fan, and she married a fan. And so for Candy to turn that around ultimately and be like, no, you are the fan. You're sitting there watching, taking notes, and then coming onto the show and trying to use all the shit that you watch against us when you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Ooh,
yeah,
so
and then
good.
Kim goes, yeah, but you said I have a drinking problem. And then she drinks from her solo cup. I mean, hilarious. You literally brought your own drink.
And Ronnie, wow, I'm so proud you said solo cup.
I'm learning.
Yeah.
Nene goes through all this
madness. Nene goes, and by the way, to clarify, DJ Tracy was licking your box while the children were in the living room. Ha! She's like, I was afraid that got lost. I want to just reiterate that.
And Andy goes, Kim, did you say you want to lick a box? And she's like, look, I tweeted I was sorry, it's solved. Next.
Yeah.
So then is the video of the roaches and the bugs or whatever the hell they were in Nene's house. And then Kim has to explain herself. So she's like, what happened was Brea was in the bathroom and she took a video and she texted it. And her friend said, what are you, Bob Box? What is that, a bug or something? And then I was going to come in. She said, Mom, don't come in here because I'm really scared of bugs.
Yeah.
And she starts going on this whole thing.
It was a heroic moment for Brielle, saving her mother from confronting her worst nightmare. Yeah, right.
So then everyone's, you know, about to go in on her again. And she goes, yeah, but remember Nene was making fun of all the medication I needed. And she was like making fun of, do I have a heart palpitation? Do I have cancer, honey? Do I have a stroke? Do I have this? Do I have that? Yes, I have it all. And that's, she's mocking me. And Nene's like, you said you had all those things. Like,
so it's like, why? As well, it's like, well,
how did they even get here?
Because Kim was saying, oh, Nene just wants to invalidate me. Yes, I've had a stroke. Yes, I have blood clots. Yes, I've had surgery in my heart. Yes, I'm on thyroid medicine. I'm like, then why are you drinking out of a solo cup every time you go someplace? Okay. He thinks that's not healthy behavior that corresponds with a feeble heart and like a problematic thyroid and blood clot issues and strokes. Like, how about you don't drink everywhere and then you can use those excuses?
Oh my God, she's just a liar. I mean, her first season was her pretend cancer. She is the original pretend cancer of Bravo. Like, she made it an actual thing. So whatever.
The one thing she said that actually lined up, that actually made sense, the only thing that she said that made sense was when Andy said, "Why do you still have that video of the cockroaches? Like, basically, we're using for ammunition." She's like, "Well, it was on text, so I just pulled off the text." I was like, "Okay, I will give you that, Kim. I believe that. That makes sense. That's the one thing that makes sense that you've said."
Yeah, so then Andy's like, "Oh, that made sense. Now let's talk about how roaches are a metaphor for racism." And she's like, "Oh, God."
Yeah.
I can't believe Croy didn't just come out with the stretcher at this point and just take her away.
Yeah. So, yeah, so now Candy's explaining why it's problematic, et cetera. I mean, I actually didn't know that roaches could be – saying roaches like that could be problematic. But, you know, it's like it's not up to me to say it's not problematic. I'm white, you know? Like I'm the one who has to – if someone says it's problematic, I'm the one who – like, I'm the one who should say, like, "Oh, okay. Sorry, I won't do that." Like, you know, like, it's called taking notes. People can take – people have to take notes better, okay? So Candy's giving Kim some notes saying, like, "Listen, don't say this thing about the roaches because, you know, maybe it doesn't affect a lot of people, but some people would take it as a reference to, like, you know, living in the projects. And also, you have a bad track record of saying shit like this, Kim Zolciak." So Kim's like, "Oh."
Yeah, well, I got all that, except that it was a literal video of bugs. So whatever they were, you know, that... True. That thing probably was, but you know, I get what they're saying. Yeah, and also, guess who else has roaches? Me. And they're disgusting. And I've tried to murder them with so many things.
Yeah.
And I do not live in the projects, but I do live in a dumpy little house where there's like an area underneath, and I'm mortified. And so I'm like mad at Kim because I have roaches.
Well, see what I mean? A lot of people have roaches. It's like, so to like make someone feel bad about it is like bullshit. You know, I don't get the impression that like, I don't think that a lot of people really, I think people did recognize that it seemed a little bit, even with the roach's comment, you know, it can be perceived as problematic. There was, I mean, looking in the context of this argument, it did kind of feel like Nini was trying to bring in that element to sort of go at Kim more than maybe was there. Because like you said, it was actually a video about roaches. But again, Kim is so stupid that I'm like, you know, I'll give it to Nini. Give it, like, just do
well
it.
Kim just, it's like Kim just fucks up so hard throughout this whole thing, and she's such a fucking liar about every little, you're such a fucking liar, Camille.
Yeah. And then on top of that, Kim actually was saying, Kim, I don't know if you heard it, but like during the squabbling regarding the video that Brielle took, Kim mutters, "Well, she was actually looking out for you, Nini." Like oh, Kim was doing, I mean, Brielle was doing a public service for Nini. I get it.
Yeah.
You're right. She is she very successful.
She was auditioning roaches to be in a commercial with you, a raid commercial, you know?
She's very successful.
We saw McGruff the crime dog for that, Nini. McGruff!
So Nini is like, "Well, if her own mama's not going to say anything to her, I'll be her mama and say something to her ass on Twitter or whatever." Mm-hmm. So Andy's like, "Okay, so then you show the video at the table." And Kim's like, "I didn't show the video at the table. No, I didn't. There is no way I showed that video at the table." And then it cuts to a clip of showing the video at the table and laughing her ass off.
And it was
off.
Like, it wasn't like, at first I thought the clip would be like, "Look at this video and..." Like, we assume that we always saw we saw her showing the video, but we didn't, you know, because sometimes that happens. But no, we actually see her take the phone, face it towards Sheree and the camera, and we see the bugs on her phone. The video, it's astounding how many times Kim got caught in her own lie and still didn't seem to understand. Like, still yes. Didn't, like, wouldn't it fess up to anything.
Yeah, they kept saying it's on film. And she's like, "No, it didn't." Like, she's just cuckoo. So Portia is like,
"Well, Sheree said she's a bone collector, and she didn't say anything."
It's like, Portia's now just going to try and turn it on Sheree, yeah. Which I guess is her way of trying to be nice to Kim. I don't know what the hell she's doing. But Sheree's like, "I didn't have to do anything. That's not mine." And Portia goes,
"You're in the hot seat now. Enjoy it, Sheree. You're in the hot seat."
I'm like, shut up over there, Portia.
Sheree, like, that she didn't, like, live up to her bone collecting duties. I guess they're kind of like, well, the only reason why she's on this show is to spread gossip, and she's not spreading the gossip, so why is she here? I think maybe
well,
that's
she
the
spreads it about all of them. They've all been hurt by it, so yeah, it's like, now she doesn't. So exactly. Kim's like, "Look, I gotta go. This is too much." And Andy's like, "It's like 2008 all over again. This is great." You know, he's like having the time of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, "What are about the chances of Nini and Kim ever?" And Nini's like, Kim's like, "Oh, hell no." And Nini goes, "No possibility."
The number of times that Nini crossed her eyes in this reunion to be like, whoa. I mean, they all were making the craziest faces. Like, what is happening? So Kim's like, I'm leaving. So she storms off. And now
she's like, bye, Andy. And she takes her stupid solo cup. And Nini's like, bye, privileged ass.
Yeah, I'm taking my solo cup. Don't have a drinking problem. I just like holding a cup. Makes me feel secure. I can't get on an airplane without a cup and craw. That's why alcohol and cup craw.
I have a drinking solution, gang.
So now things start to wind down. It's like, so, ladies, any regrets? And Kenya's like, I regret how I acted in Houston. And she's like, but it was a teachable moment. And Andy's like, ooh, I like that. Okay, so Sheree, what have you learned? She's like, dynamics have changed. Beast Poor say the same, though.
And Portia's like,
I was just coughing.
And Sheree goes, so was I. What? Poor Sheree made no sense this entire thing.
And it's like, Candy, what's your regret? She's like, see, no. Riley, I regret that Sheree didn't give me a bone about Kim. Like, that's not really a regret, but I appreciate it. It's funny.
Yeah, she's like, I regret not telling off Kim, but I would have had I had information.
Yeah, exactly.
And Cynthia's like, well, I learned to use the leaf blower, child. Yeah. And they're like, okay, great.
She's like, Cynthia's like, well, my biggest regret is that I won't go for the fresh deal section on Airbnb.
So Portia's like,
this season for me was very humbling. I'm humbled.
And he's like, you're wearing a crown. You're like literally wearing a crown. And Nini's like, I learned about stagecraft and how to deal with hecklers.
I was like, well, based on how you just reacted to the queen of hecklers, Kim Zolciak, I'm not sure you did.
Well, at least you didn't tell her, I hope you get raped in an Uber.
That's true. So now they all get some roses from Spain. And
otherwise known as Ralph's.
Publix. Some Costco roses. And it's like, yay to the season. You know, they don't do their customary toast. They're just sort of like touch flowers. And it's like, that's a wrap. And then all of a sudden this like producer comes out. It's like, I need Andy and a camera. So Andy is like rushed into like the ladies' room where Kim is. She's like, she's having a
tantrum. I love just thinking that that's her dressing room, the public ladies' room.
Yeah, it probably is, you know, searching for roaches.
So he's like, hi, how are you? Great to see you. She's married to a boy and his name is Croy. She's like, Andy, how could you? Not, how much can one person take? There wasn't one positive question, Andy. Not one positive question. And he's like, it wasn't so bad.
Yeah. And she's like, how much can one person take? I'm like, well, if we're talking about plastic surgery, obviously a lot. And it's not going to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, bounce your head off the mirror and let's see. Let's test it.
And Croy's like, you had the power to stop them. You had the power to say, stop that right now.
God, he really has just become a big woman. I mean, at this point, he's got a full face of makeup. He looks as crazy as her with all the injectables.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a woman.
Thank you, Ben.
It's important to know that women should not be used. Saying that someone is like a woman should not be used as an insult. But however,
a man who has injected himself to the point of looking like a crazy Kim, Kim knockoff. He looks like a drag. He looks like a drag queen,
a sad husk of his former self.
A sad husk. Okay. So anyway, he's just like a big girl.
Now, at the end of the episode, after we've made fun of every aspect of Kim's face and Brielle's face, that suddenly I'm like, no, guys, stand up for womanhood.
Like, okay. So he's like, how could you? You could have said no. And then he's like, well, okay. Then this is where fucking Kim just finally shows what's under all of that caulk.
And at this point, okay? Sheree has now entered the room too, I would like to mention.
Oh my God. So she's like, Sheree, I'm so mad at you, didn't stick up for me. And she's like, well, I just I don't want to fight other people's fights. And
You're sinking ship.
And Andy's making me pay for that collect call. And just getting good. So then Kim's like, you know why you haven't found one other white woman to sit on that chair? Because no one else has the balls, Andy. I'm like, oh no, here she goes. I could not believe this even fucking happened. What is wrong with this world?
Just lead us through it, because it was actually it was so much, and it actually barely made sense to me. It was just like this weird ranting about there was no racism, but now there's racism, and I never was racist. I was typing
so fast, but this is what I got. Put yourself in my shoes. All these African women, African American women surrounded me, and this racism shit is bullshit. They owe me an apology and the entire country an apology for this racism shit. They were trying to claim this shit a long time ago, and you know it, but it didn't catch on because there wasn't social media then, so nobody bought into it. And you know it, Andy, you know it. I'm like, okay, wait. So they've been calling you a racist for years, but there was no one to agree with them on social media,
so therefore
it didn't really matter.
So therefore it wasn't true. That's what she's saying.
But now that there's social media, if someone is called a racist, everybody's jumping on that and saying, yes, you are a racist. But Kim, I mean,
you know what else is around now? 10 years of flashbacks and of evidence of you saying problematic shit the entire time. Like, you don't have a pass, Kim. You may have black friends, okay? You don't have a pass. I don't have a pass. I have a black boyfriend. I do not have a pass. What you do have is a great opportunity to learn and try to, like, broaden your horizons and try to, like, share with people experiences that you've observed from your black friends and lovers or whatever. But what you don't have is a pass. You can't walk in and be like, this is like the hood, whatever. You don't have that. Sorry.
Well, it's just crazy that that's what she took away. I mean, out of all the things they said, they called her on 80 million lies. And then she's like, oh, well, they're just bullying me because there are all these black ladies against one white lady. And that's not fair. And I couldn't take that. Nobody can take that. It's like, why isn't it just being yelled at by seven other ladies? You know, why does it have to be any worse that they're black ladies? Trust me, there's plenty of housewives with all white people, almost every other housewives.
Right.
And they're just as vicious when they go after somebody. It's like, but you're an idiot, Kim. You're fucking about
when
idiot.
How about when you have an entire – if you have all these people saying to you, honestly, when can you describe the Roach thing in very sort of like – she was even keeled and everything. And they weren't even really saying, Kim, you are a racist. They were saying why what she said was problematic. And, of course, this is one of the larger issues with the dialogue about racism, is that a lot of times people just see it, no pun intended, as a very black and white stark thing. Like, when there's actually just – there's gradients of it. And they're saying what you said was problematic. And instead of hearing that and saying, oh, shit, I didn't realize that. Won't happen again. Sorry about that. I apologize. She takes this, oh, I'm the racist now. Oh, now you want to call me racist because it's convenient because you got social media. So now everyone can jump on the bandwagon and assault my character. I'm like, just say sorry. Just say, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I'm really sorry that it came out that way. I was just saying that she had roaches because she had roaches. You know?
Oh, my God. What an idiot. So she thinks she's going to get people on her side, I guess, by becoming the victim. Now she just sounds like total racist trash.
Now she's alienated everyone.
Yeah, yes. Now she just sounds like total trash. So she's still yelling at Andy, and then Andy was like, okay, you know, look.
You complained about not having anything positive.
Yeah, you complained about not having anything positive, but you didn't have one single positive storyline. Like, everything was combative, you know, and your entire storyline was combative, and so that's why. So, sorry. And then she's like, oh, Andy! And she grabs him and hugs him because basically she's never going to work. I mean, what's she going to do?
She doesn't
like,
hug
she's just
him.
A huge racist. Oh, I thought she hugged him.
He hugs her. He basically is like, basically Andy drops, hey, I'm Andy Cohen from Watch What Happens Live. And he becomes producer or executive Andy. And he's like, listen, Kim, the reason why there wasn't a positive question is because there wasn't anything positive in your story the whole season. It was all combative. Bye. Hugs. And gone. And Sheree just sat there. And by the way, Sheree, sitting there silently while Kim is spouting this stuff, maybe her response was edited out, but Sheree just sitting there and not speaking up and not trying to correct Kim was also – it felt like a missed opportunity on her part to, like, really –
Well, I think that at that point – I mean, Kim was going so crazy and screaming and yelling that her nose – she had – you know how you can't –
wrinkle your nose at certain places with the Botox and fillers and stuff. Like, it actually, she was so upset, it moved it all up. And she had this, like, knob in the middle of her nose. Did you see it? Like, that's how furious she was. I think at that point, you're just like, there's nothing anybody can say. She's just losing her mind and ruining her entire fucking career at that point.
It's like when the boss in like, Super Mario Odyssey, like, you know, when you, like, knock the boss over and then it, like, reveals its vulnerability spot and you have to, like, stomp on it. That's like him. She revealed the knob on her nose, and that's when you have to go in and just, like, stomp.
The spinning knob that flies at you.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to say? Like, well, you know, it's not about that it's African-American women. It's like, she's not a five-year-old. She's a fucking adult making an ass out of herself. And I think at that point, Sheree's just like, oh, shit, we're both fired.
And let me tell you something. The producers do not like Kim because they did not have to include any of that. They could have let it end, but they're like, you know what? We're just going to give this nice little moment of Kim saying highly problematic stuff in the dressing room because we hate her and we want to drag her too, okay? We're not going to let just Nene and Kenya and Candy and Cynthia have all the fun, okay? So they go, they didn't have to include that scene at all. I mean, you know how much shit problematic shit all these housewives have probably said at all these reunions in all these dressing rooms, but they're like, we're not going to let Kim get away with this one. So they kept it in there and Bravo signed off on it, which is weird because were we saying this before the show or on the show? You know, Don't Be Tardy got picked up and you would think like this is a weird, if they have a star of some shitty spinoff, it's weird that they would sort of keep this. It's really Sully's one of their stars. I don't know. Maybe they will yank Don't Be Tardy because I'm, for one, done with Kim. I don't need her. Like, she's not funny. She's not interesting. She's just, like, a terrible example of what fame can do to someone. And she's not even, like, she's so awful that I love her. She's just awful. And I don't know why. I don't think Bravo needs her. I think that she ruins Bravo's brand. I say, kick her down to Wii. Kick her down to TLC.
Oh, God. And she'll be there. I mean, God. Hopefully in my 600-pound life, you know. Squirrel just be feeding her Chick-fil-A and then hosing her down at night.
I mean, I would be okay if Kim Zolciak wanted to do, like, a reboot of Death Becomes Her because she's on that path.
I just put that on my Amazon Prime watch list.
Oh, my God. Because
it's on there now. It. Anybody who has Amazon Prime, you can watch that now, and it's so good.
I really have to watch it.
So that brings us to the end of a season. I mean, what a reunion. This was fucking crazy.
Yeah, and by the way, this hour was great. And, like, on other shows, I would say, you know, she's so fucking awful. But you know what, though? If we didn't have her, we wouldn't have had this great hour of TV. But I'm not going to give her that. I'm not going to give her that. It wasn't because of her that we had a great hour of TV. It was because the other ladies brought it. That's why.
Well, Kenya and Nene both owe her a fucking bouquet of flowers, or a bouquet of chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A.
Poison Ivy. How about
her
that?
Favorite thing. Because... she really did take a lot of heat off them. Like, neither one of them had a very good season. And if it weren't for her, they would have been getting yelled at the whole time, you know? And she really took the pressure off. I mean, Jesus, what a nightmare.
It was a pretty glorious way to end the season because it was an uneven, not so great season. And even the reunions were only okay. But to have this ending where they were just all coming at her and just being hilarious and just dragging Kim for an hour... it was a good way to end. It was a good way. It reminds us that, like, this show has a lot of life left in it, and I'm sure we will be right back on track next season.
Oh, yes. And next week starts The Real Housewives of Potomac full recaps, and that's been a really good one.
Yeah, Potomac is in a really good place right now, so we're excited to bring that back onto the main show starting next week.
Yes, and then tomorrow we will be back with Pump Rules, followed by The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion, and then some Southern Charm and
hello, New
Southern
York.
Charm NOLA and Real Housewives of New York on Thursday, of course. Duh.
Yeah, we'll cover Southern Charm NOLA with the regular Southern Charm like we did last week.
So everybody, thanks so much for being here. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.